The harvest is approaching, and the farmers are working to bring us the wealth of their fields. I'm Laura Kennedy, and this is GLT's Grow, your source for practical gardening advice from our expert in the field. From the Illinois State University School of Biological Sciences, it is Patrick Murphy. Hello there, Mr. Murphy.
Tally-ho, Laura.
And we're off today on GLT's Grow. We're talking about farmers, and basically it's sort of an appreciation of what they bring us, because these guys grow for a living.
It's a friendly reminder, because I think we oftentimes take it for granted in the West, not just in America, but in the West in general, because mm-hmm. we do feed the world. America does feed the world. Some people say we do a better job now than we used to, and some people don't. But I think it's important to remember where it all comes from. And this time of year, I'm awful mindful of it, because it's really hot out there. It's the dog days. It's the dog days. And, you know, let's think about a farmer.
The dog with his tongue hanging out.
Yeah. You know, we talk about history on here a lot, and, mm-hmm. you know, I like to get philosophical-y on here, you know. So I want everybody to keep a couple things in mind. Let's just start with today, Laura, right?
Okay.
What do you say after the show we go and jump in a cab, piece of power equipment, and mow ditches for the rest of the day?
Okay.
It's hotter than grandma's house inside that cab.
I'm telling you.
Yeah. And when they're done doing that, it's going to be time to harvest.
Mm-hmm.
So from now until that harvest time is here and the air is filled with little bits of corn and beans, there's going to be equipment on the roads. We all pay car insurance. Don't hit them. Give them a break. They're feeding the frickin' world, everybody. Mm-hmm. Give them a break. If you know that you got a route, if you live on Route 9, off of Route 9 or something like that, like I do,
mm-hmm.
give yourself a little extra time, because it's real likely you're going to pass a cultivator or a piece of power equipment moving from one plot to another.
Okay.
And nobody wants to have an accident, but let's think about the farmer again who's been mowing ditches in the summer and preparing his culverts so he can move his equipment off the roads and into the fields. I think it's all charmingly wonderful. Man and women have figured out how to make machines to cultivate the land, and it requires so much power, but they're able to make it look so easy, and it's not easy to run that big piece of equipment in a straight line, acre after acre.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think that it's important for us to realize that, because the laws of the land seem to be going against the farmer, particularly the family farmer, and I think that stinks. We all oftentimes go to the farmer's market on Saturdays, and maybe you go to Downs on Thursday. Well, what if that was gone? What if we couldn't get the gourmet tomatoes? What if we couldn't get fingerling potatoes? Because not all farmers are farming great big tracts of land. Some are farming 2-3 acres at a time, and they're doing it by hand with a small garden tractor.
Yeah.
They're putting it all in a trailer, and they drive to another town to sell it. The standard of living that comes with that kind of lifestyle is one that I find to be very high. And I think there's no coincidence that this country's greatest generation had a great deal of support from agricultural communities, where many of the men that went off to fight and die for this country and for other people's freedoms and liberties came from farms.
Mm-hmm.
Farming is something that's very important to me, not just because I like to eat, but because I understand that it is one way that a nation enjoys freedom. If we don't have the ability to take care of ourselves, from energy to the food we eat and our medical care, much will be lost.
You're listening to GLT's Grow, our weekly gardening show for those who like to get their hands dirty and like to appreciate the work of the farmers. And we do tip our John Deere hat to the farmers as we approach the harvest season. But, of course, going to those farmers markets and buying all these delicious foods like tomatoes and all kinds of stuff,
mm-hmm.
You bring all this stuff home. You know, the huge trend right now is canning. Canning is really coming back into vogue.
And I think it is a neat thing. And, you know, canning and seed collecting is another thing
that's
kind of a naturalistic hobby that's becoming popular. And I think it's a good thing to talk about on the heels of farming, because farming has brought this nation and others bounty, more than you can eat.
Mm-hmm.
And the farmers and food scientists and homemakers and all kinds of folks have, through trial and error over the years, figured out a way to keep it. And there are many things that bring satisfaction to people in life. But speaking for myself, taking stuff that my wife and I have grown in our garden and preparing it in the kitchen and putting it in these really cool, fashionable blue jars
mm-hmm.
and putting it on the shelf is enjoyable. And there's nothing like yanking that jar of what do you got, Patrick? We got pears. We got apples. We got blueberries. We got the strawberries. We got the raspberries.
You put up blueberries? Wow.
Some.
Okay.
Some. And that's a good question, Laura, because everything is different.
Yeah.
So, you know, tomatoes, that's the one that it was only pressure cooker when I was a kid. And when the family would set up to can three times in the summer before mm-hmm. you went back to school, and then one or two times right after school started. Each crop or each item had a different series of steps and a different way to avoid contamination.
Oh, that is so important.
Yeah.
And we do not want botulism.
You don't. And along those lines, you know, there's a real opportunity right now. I noticed a lot of the local retailers are drastically marking down their canning stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's an opportunity in two ways. One, if you've never tried it, now you can save a little bit of money because when you pay top price for the canning stuff, it's actually more costly than buying it at the store. But if you wait until it goes on sale and it's not the thing that's at the top of everybody's list, it's so much greatly reduced in price that it's hard to walk away from it. And it includes not just the jars, but the little seasoning packs if you want to do that, you know, if you're making your own preserves or jelly. But, you know, I'm kind of fascinated by tools and canning is a manifestation of that, you know.
Yeah.
And I think it's neat, the little gadgets, man. They got the gadgets so you don't have to, your dirty fingers don't touch the jar and your dirty fingers don't touch the lids or the rings. It's like a magnet on a stick.
So you really think people ought to look into getting gadgets in order to make canning easier?
Yeah, because once you get the gadgets, you have what you need forever and ever, and you just have to replace the lids. The rings you can reuse, the jars you can reuse. It's the little lid with the rubber ring that you should really only use it once.
Okay, I did not know that.
Some people are frugal, and they give that thing a once-over and clean it really well and sterilize it. But
boil it. My grandmother would boil them.
Yeah, there's a little piece of paper that's got glue on the back of it, and stuff can get between the paper and the glue, and then your tomatoes stink to high heaven when you open them up in January, you know.
Okay. So we don't want that.
So that's kind of the punchline with the canning. Every single thing you would put in a can has a different set of steps, but the same tools, the same jars, same lids, just some different nuances.
What if you wanted to do like a succotash? I mean, is it really advisable to combine various different things?
I think succotash is something that would be, say, corn, carrots, and
maybe
beans, or corn,
beans,
carrots, and peas. And I think that those could be combined. But what you wouldn't want to combine would be tomatoes and another vegetable, in my opinion. If the tomatoes
because
were cooked
acidity?
Or juiced. Yeah, and it's a little harder to get that jar to seal.
Oh.
You know, so you got your pressure cookers, but you also have the hot water bath. And I've always liked the hot water bath. I've got the satisfaction of setting that jar in there with the lid loosely on there and hear that ring rattling around until there's a pop. And that's just kind of an insurance policy, let you know that it's been in there long enough and you've sterilized the contents and the jar.
Okay. Well, thanks for the advice on canning, and thanks for the appreciation of farmers who surround us here in central Illinois. We appreciate their hard work and looking forward to reaping the benefits of their hard work at the farmers market this autumn. Now, next week on GLT's Grow, we're going to talk about what happens when you get too much rain in the spring and early summer, like we did around here in central
mm-hmm.
Illinois. What are the ramifications of that once fall gets here? We're going to do that next week on GLT's Grow. If you've got a gardening question or problem you'd like Murph to tackle, why don't you submit that at our website, fill in the form. Maybe it'll go on the air. It's wglt.org/grow.